one of the reasons why Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol, because it's a really long Shabbos. Rabbis speak for a really long time, and it's a long drasha, so I'm sure everyone at this point is all drushed out from Shabbos HaGadol, I can imagine. So maybe we'll just talk shortly on the Parsha, instead of on Shabbos HaGadol. Parsha's Metzorah, we often don't get to read it separately. It's usually sandwiched with Tazria and Metzorah. But there's some very important messages, I believe, from the Parsha's Metzorah that we read yesterday. One of the unique things about the Metzorah is that the Torah tells us his korban is made up of two birds. One bird he shechs and one bird he sends free. So the obvious question is, why bring the bird if you're just going to send it free? What is the purpose? Usually we bring korbanos for a purpose. We slaughter the bird. Here we bring the bird and then we send it free. What exactly is the purpose? What is the message? So I've heard a couple of beautiful pshatim. One pshat I heard in the name of Rabbi Bezalel Radinsky, noted Rav and Rosh Hashiva in Muncie, where he pointed out that we're teaching the Metzorah, who's trying to fix up his sin of Lashon Hara, that very often Lashon Hara has long-lasting effects. And a person speaks Lashon Hara on one day of the year, and he does tshuva, and he feels terrible, and he feels bad about it, but he has no idea how that Lashon Hara can come back 5 years later and ruin someone's life. Just like when you send a bird out to the wild, it's very hard to get it back. What comes out of our mouth is gone, and once it's out, it can never come back. And we don't know the impact that it has on other people's lives. Just look in the news today, look in the political world. Someone makes a tweet 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and no one ever knew about it, and then it's discovered one day and it ruins their political career. Or someone made a comment on a recording one day, and they dig it up and they find it, and they attempt to ruin their career. So too in life, if a person speaks ill of someone else, and you do tshuva and you feel terrible about it, but the lamaisa words can't be taken back, and you have no idea where those words are going to end up. They can fly free all over and have terrible, terrible impacts on people's lives later on. People can't get jobs, and people can't get shidduchim, and people can't get the help that they need. A lot of things that are very much dependent upon the speech. So therefore, we send the other bird out to teach the lesson to the Mitzvah, and to us, of course, as well, how careful we have to be that our speech has long-lasting impacts, way beyond anything we see in the first initial stages. It goes, it travels, it has a life of its own, so to say. We all know that slander and bad speech has a life of its own. It goes and it continues, it lives on way past the actual statement. In a different vein, the more of the Chassidish Svarim say it this way, the Belzer Rebbe and others say it this way, that the significance of the second bird is to teach us a different lesson. The first bird we slaughter and we kill because that bird represents evil talk. We as a human being have a mouth, and our mouth can talk either good or bad. Either we can use our mouth for Torah things, positive things, productive things. We can use our mouth for not such good things, for evil, slander, Lashon Hara, things like that. So therefore, it says the Mefarshim, the first bird that we shecht is the bird that represents evil talk. Bad usage of our mouth. That bird we slaughter because we don't want anything of that type in our life. But the second bird represents the positive speech. Very often people read Parshas Tizrim and serve, and the feeling that they get is, you know what, I'm just not going to talk. Talk is evil, talk is bad, let's just not talk. Nothing, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to go, time is deep. That's not true either, it's not correct. What's more correct is not that speech is evil. Evil speech is evil. Speech is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, is the Kayach HaDibur, when and only used for good. When it's used to talk Torah, when it's used to talk productive things, then it's very beautiful. So the first bird that we slaughter represents that we're trying to eradicate the evil speech in our life. The Lashon Hara, the putting down, the negativity, that's we slaughter. We have no place for that. The second bird that we let live, that bird is the bird that represents positive speech. The mouth that we use, the speech that we use to talk positively, productively, we talk Torah, we speak nicely of other people, we give compliments, we help people, that's the other mouth, that's the other bird. And that bird lives forever. Those perhaps are the two birds that the Metzorah brings. And it fits very nicely with Tavar from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says that Leil Seder, if you think about it, the entire night is about using your mouth. Use your mouth to say Sibitis Mitzrayim, to eat matzah, to drink dalakosis. It's a chance, says the Sfas Emes, to mekadosh one's mouth. That's what Leil Seder is all about. It's a chance for us to use our mouth to bring in Kedusha. Instead of using our mouth for slander, putting people down, and talking about other people's starim and other people's matzahs, and who's in the hotel and who's not in the hotel, and who's doing this and who's doing that, it's really a chance for us to use our mouth for Kedusha. And therefore, that's why the Metzorah has to bring the two birds, is to teach him this lesson that really, it's not an idea to live without speech, but the idea is how to make speech Kaddish, how to make our regular speech Kaddish. And our Dibur is very powerful. We can do a lot with our mouth. When used properly, we can do a lot of good. We can speak on other people's behalf, and we can get things done, and we can start organizations, and we can help other yidden in need, all with our dibur, all with our mouth. But lehepach, we can do a lot of damage as well. When we speak ill of others and we slander others, we put other people down, we can do a lot of damage with our mouth. And that's why perhaps the Metzorah brings those two birds. The other highlight of Parashas Metzorah is the nige habatim. We come across in the parasha this concept of having tzaras on one's home. And Rashi says that as a reward for having tzaras on your house, you have to demolish your house and you'll find jewels and diamonds hidden in your house. So the obvious question is, that sounds very funny. We're going to reward the guy for speaking Lashon Hara with jewelry and diamonds. Usually we have a principle called Chayt Nisker. Someone who sins does not get rewarded. What's going on over here? So I heard very nice, beautiful Tup Shatim from Ephraim Goldberg, where he explains the lesson of Negei Batim is not so much the jewels inside the house, but it's the appreciation to one's own house. Part of what the Metzorah does is he has to empty his entire house. So he explains that one of the things that a Metzorah does wrong is he has Taivas HaMamon. He has strong desires for money, and that leads to Negei Habatim. So he says, what do we do when we take everything out of the house? We bring everything out of the house, and this guy really finally realizes what he actually has in his house. He's always wanting what someone else has. When he finally looked back and said, hey, I have a lot. I have a lot of here. He empties out everything in his house and he lays it on the front lawn. He says, hey, I have a lot. Maybe I don't have as much as the neighbor, but I have a lot. I have a lot of good stuff here. I'm very happy with what I have. When a person comes to that realization that I'm very happy with my have, it really takes away his taivas hamamon. He no longer desires what the neighbor has, because I'm very happy in my own shoes. I have what I have. I'm very happy. I don't need what you have. So that's the tikkun. The tikkun gufa is the fact that he empties his house and he clears out his house and he realizes, I have a lot of good things. I have what to be grateful for instead of, oh, what am I missing? If you're always looking for what you're missing, you'll never find it. If you're grateful for what you'll have, you'll always have and be happy. It's a very important lesson in life. I think it's very much connected to Lel Pesach. Hopefully we'll all sit around our Seder with family, friends, whoever it may be. And the attitude shouldn't be, oh, what don't I have? It should be, look how lucky I am. Look at all the wonderful things I have, with the wonderful people I'm here with. Wherever that Seder may be, it's what to appreciate, as opposed to, oh no, we didn't do this, and we didn't do that, and we should have had this, and we should have had that. That's not a very optimistic or productive thought process. If I care, the process is, look how beautiful this is. What a beautiful Seder we have. And everything looks so wonderful, and the kids are here, and the grandkids are here, and they haven't yet spilled the grape juice on the table. It's beautiful, so much to be excited for. That's one very important message. And he says another pshat, which I think is as important. He says, when a person cleans out his house, he realizes the difference between a house and a home. He says, a house is a physical house. A home is what the family makes it into. A house is a house. Anyone can buy a house. A house is a building with bricks. It could be bigger. It could be smaller. It could have, centrally or not centrally, a swimming pool, not swimming pool. That's a house. A home is what you make it. A home is a family with the values and the Torah ideals and the people you put into your home. That's a home. So when the Metzorah realizes that it's not about so much being a house, but it's really about making it into a home, the value of realizing, internalizing what a Jewish home is worth. And that's the whole theme of Pesach. It says, Ish sela beis avos, sela bayis, all over. We keep talking about the Jewish home. Pari jumped over the Jewish home. Pesach is a time where it's a very family-oriented holiday, where we really focus on what does it mean to be a Jewish home. It's not a Jewish house. It's a Jewish home. A Jewish home is a whole different experience. It's, as Moshe Sternberg points out, the Negei Habatim teach us that our speech, our feelings, and our ideology make up the walls of our home. It goes through the walls, negative and positive. You can walk into a Jewish house and you can feel Kedusha. You feel it on the walls. It seeps off the walls. It jumps off the walls. Or you can go into a Jewish house and it's merely a house, not a Jewish home. It's another very important lesson going into Yom Tov Pesach, which is a very family-based Yom Tov. We want to make sure that our home is a Jewish home, not a Jewish house. A house is just anyone can have a house. Jewish home is a certain feeling. You walk into the house, you feel a certain kedusha, you feel a certain sensitivity, a certain specialty in a Jewish home. And that's made up by the people in the home. The family, the parents, grandparents, they make up what a Jewish home is. And so therefore, when the person cleans out his house and he realizes all he has is a house, that's all he's left with is the building. The home is the people. And therefore, that exactly is his kapara. And then he realizes, oyvei, all that I'm looking for in life is meaningless. I'm looking for money. I'm looking for a bigger house. That's not what a house is. It's about having a home. A Jewish home is much more valuable than a Jewish house or any house. And therefore, when he empties his house, he realizes that it's not the things in the house that make a house. It's the people in the house that make the house. A very, very powerful lesson as we go into the Yom Tov Pesach. Yeah, again, after about a day and a half, we're pretty much sick of the guests that we have in our house. We're waiting for them to go home. I know how it goes. Trust me, I know. I've been on both sides of the equation. I've been a guest and a host. I'm not going to lie to anyone. We know how it feels. But at least for the duration of the Yom Tov, we're together with family. Let's appreciate what we have. I think it's a very important lesson. Whoever joins us for the Seder, whichever family it is, whoever didn't go to the other side or whatever, whoever didn't decide to go to the hotel over us, whatever the case may be, it's we should appreciate who we have and what we have, and we should ensure that we're turning our homes for Pesach, not just cleaning our homes for Pesach, but in injecting into our homes Jewish values, Jewish Kedusha, to change our house from merely being a house to being a Jewish home. What I want to talk about today is a little bit a topic that is negeya halacha l'maisa slightly, but perhaps more negeya for the lamdusha purposes of understanding the process known as bedikas chametz. In every Jewish home, the highlight of Thursday night this year is going to be bedikas chametz. It's very exciting. Everyone gets together and they take the candle and the flashlight and they make the bracha on the candle and they use the flashlight, whatever the different minhagim are. And the whole family goes together as a team investigating, searching and looking for chametz. This is known as bedikas chametz. For many people, this is an exciting part of Leil bedikas chametz. For many women, it's an inconvenience because it sets them back on of the many things they're trying to do in the kitchen, and they have to take a break and turn off the lights. You don't really have to turn off the lights. That's another, I think, minhag that became very popular. You turn off the lights. I don't know. Let me ask you a question. If you dropped something in your house, do you turn off the lights and take out a flashlight? Of course not. You turn on the lights and you take a flashlight. So why we turn off the lights is beyond my understanding. I understand why. It's because back in the day, they didn't have overhead lights. Today, when we have overhead lights, it's somewhat funny to think you should turn off the lights. Again, I think it adds to the experience. It makes it scary for the little kids. It's spooky. It's exciting. It's dark. You don't know what's going to happen. But me'ikar adin, I think you should keep the lights on. I think you can get a much better bdika, but together with a flashlight. Again, I don't suggest using a candle. I think candles are dangerous. We've had never too many stories of people that have used candles and things have happened. Whether or not you can make a bracha on a flashlight, we've discussed in the past from a halachic standpoint. So I think Minhag Yisrael today is we light the candle, we make the bracha, we do a little bedika with the candle, then we switch over to our flashlights to avoid all potential dangerous situations. But Me'ikar Adin, I don't see any compelling reason why you should have to turn the lights off. I think it's probably more mistaver to have the lights on. But in any case, this is the bedikas chametz that we all know of. We spend the next 25, 30 minutes going, all that stuff for 25 minutes. Then we play a little game of where all the chametz is. And then usually some kid decides he's not telling someone where it is. He thinks he's going to get an early afikomen present if he bribes his parents with a little piece of chametz. This is all part of the Jewish experience known as bedikas chametz. How long should bedikas chametz take? That's a very loaded question. So again, thank you. It should be a serious procedure. This is not a joke. As we'll see today, we're doing a real maisa bedika, a din de rabbanon. We're going to make a bracha on this. It should be done as serious as possible. But, you know, people say, oh, my bedikas chametz takes 6.5 hours. I don't know. I'm not sure where you live that it takes 6.5 hours. Then somebody says, my bedikas chametz is 2 minutes. Okay, I think that's pretty fast also. So I think it's somewhere between. You got to go through all the house. You got to go through all the rooms, all the areas where chametz can go, and you do a thorough bedika. You really check. And we'll talk hopefully later if we don't get to it. We're going to just mention the shaila today is that maybe all our homes are not even viable for bedika with a bracha because our homes are so spot clean. We have the cleaning lady come extra during the week. This is when the cleaning ladies clean up. They make all this extra money and they get all this extra food. You ever walk, you see the cleaning, they're all holding like the gourmet glob bags, loaded up with food, and they make a lot of extra money. This is a great week if you're a cleaning lady. But the question is our rooms even subjected to bedikas chametz? Our rooms are so clean, they're spot clean. Who said you can even make a bracha? So we'll have to see if that's an issue as well. But I want to get to a little bit today is, what exactly is the purpose of bedikas chametz from a lamdusha standpoint, and how it will, I think, largely impact some interesting cases halacha l'maisa.
Your car is halacha l'maisa.
Yes.
You should
be
bedikas afterwards, right?
No, you have to pay somebody.
One should lichatchila be bedikas car. One should make sure his office is clean. One should make sure his summer house is clean.
When you do the bedikas at night, you should do the cars as well.
Yeah, we don't make a separate bracha on the bedikas in the car because it's not your house. But one should be baidik after he finishes in his house. One should go to the car and be baidik the car as well. Some achrayim held, if you go to one of these real professional places, maybe you can be samech on them. I'm not so sure. I find that anyone that's hired to clean, they're only looking to get rid of dirt. They're not worried about halacha. They're worried about you noticing dirt. So they'll hide something under something that doesn't count for halacha, but counts for them to say, oh, no one saw that it's dirty. So I wouldn't be samech on that. A quick look into your car should be good enough to fulfill the obligation of bedik. So the Gemara says, Adisim Sachem Dav Zayin. Amar Reb Yehuda, HaBoidek Tzarech Sheyivarech. One who does bedik at chametz needs to make a bracha. Interesting chiddush from the Gemara. One who does bedikas chametz needs to make a bracha. So one would have assumed that this is not anything new. Every takanas chazal, every time you do anything, you make a bracha. We light Neris Chanukah, we make a bracha. We light Neris Shabbos, you make a bracha. We read the Megillah, you make a bracha. What is so unique about bedikas chametz that the Gemara had to go out of its way to tell me that habaydik tzarech shivarech? The Gemara doesn't say that when you read the Megillah, you have to make a bracha. The Gemara just tells you what the bracha is. The Gemara doesn't say when you light Neir's Chanukah you have to make a bracha. It just tells you what the bracha is. Here the Gemara makes an extra comment that you should know that Bedigas Chametz requires a bracha. Obvious question is, and the Rishonim will ask, why is that necessary for us to know? But the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, "Mai Mevarech, what's the text of the bracha? Rav Papi Amar Shmei Derava Levar Chametz. It's to burn Chametz. Rav Papi Amar Shmei Derava Al Bir Chametz. It's the bracha on the burning of the Chametz. You obviously see both Pshat and the Gemara. No one talks about searching the Chametz. What are we doing Thursday night? We're not burning anything. We're searching. So if we were writing the text of the bracha, we would have wrote Al Bedikas Chametz, Liv Daikas Chametz. Neither of the two shittas in the Gemara even had that as a possibility that the Nusach HaBracha would reflect the act that you're doing. The act that you're doing Thursday night is searching. Yet the Nusach HaBracha has something to do with burning. And then
Really, good.
But then the question is, so what should the bracha be? Should the bracha be in the hachana, or should the bracha be in the end result? That's what we're going to have to get to a little bit today. But there's another Gemara Msachim. The Gemara Msachim on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, number 2. The Gemara comes out of Halacha L'maisa, the Hilchasa. The Halacha is Al Bir Chametz. The text of the Bracha is Al Bir Chametz. And that's what you'll find in all your Haggadahs and all your Machzarim. The text of the Bracha is Al Bir Chametz. So clearly the Bracha has absolutely no reflection at all on the act that you're doing tonight. It's merely a reflection of something you're going to do tomorrow. Shulchan Aruch Pasuk Ladan number 3. Kaidim Sheyasch Livdek. Before you start to do the Bedikah, Yivarech, you make the bracha. Hashem Kedushanu Mitzvahsivanu Al Bir Chametz. The Shaila that the Achrenim do talk about is: let's say B'diavad you made the bracha Al Bedikas Chametz. Would one be Yoytze B'diavad? So the Pashis, the assumption should be no. Since no one ever discussed such a possibility in the Gemara, that obviously for whatever reason, which we'll have to see, Chazal were not comfortable with such a text of a bracha. So even B'diavad, you want to be Yoytze.
Why can't you say B'dikah, you did it, okay, and then tomorrow when you burn it, just say B'yir.
So that's a separate child in the Rishonim. We'll see, the Rosh asked this kasha. Why don't we make a bracha on Erev Pesach in the morning when we burn our chametz, Al Bir Chametz? That should be more logical. When we burn our chametz tomorrow, or whatever, Friday morning, we should make the bracha. I'll be our chametz then. Why make the bracha now for what's going to happen then? Just do it now and save ourselves.
David said it's the haschol.
Right, so the question is, so you make, normally we assume you make our bracha on the gemar, not on the haschol. So why over here is there a bracha on the haschol and not on the gemar? It's an interesting thing. So there's another gemar in Pesachim, Davov. Says the gemara, V'om Rebbe Yehuda Merav, Hamefarish v'hayotze b'shiroi. Someone who leaves, goes away. Again, v'amefarish usually means he takes a boat. V'ayotze b'shiroi means he goes in a wagon, which means he's doing some long distance traveling. So the gemara says, Kodim shloishim yom. If he leaves more than 30 days before Pesach, ein zokuk levar. He doesn't have to do bedika. Levar over here means bedika. So if a guy leaves his house 30 days before Pesach, he does not have to worry about bedikas chametz. Toich shloishim yom. If he leaves within 30 days, zokuk levar. He needs to do bedika. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Toch Shoshim Yom Zokul Gavar. When did we say that if you leave within 30 days, you need to do Bedika? Lo Yamarin Ela Shaday De Lachzor. That's only if you plan on returning on Pesach or before Pesach. Aval Ein Day De Lachzor, but if you have no plan on leaving, let's say you have two homes. You have a house in Florida, a house in Eretz Yisrael, a house here, and you're leaving one of those homes more. You're leaving those homes before Pesach, and you're not coming back. You're spending Pesach in the other house. So then the halach is, according to Abaya, you do not have to do a Bedika before you leave. If you no plan on returning, ain zokuk levar. You don't have to do a bedik. Amalei Rava asked, "V'idaiti lachzor." 1 second. If you plan on returning, afilu merosh Hashanah nami. If you plan on coming back to one of these homes on Pesach, you'd have to do a bedik even if you left the home Rosh Hashanah time. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to show up on Pesach and the house is full of chametz. How can you not? You left your house Rosh Hashanah time, and you were thinking about dipping the apple in the honey. You weren't thinking about bedikas chametz, and then all of a sudden you're going to show up. But 2 days, meaning if you look in the mafarshim, they were concerned. We back then travel wasn't as simple as it is today. You couldn't exactly pinpoint when you're going to show up. So you might show up Friday afternoon or Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Your house is full of chametz. Then you're going to run into trouble. So we wanted to ensure that your house is clean. Yeah.
But why? It says Kol Em Shoshim Yom. Why does that exclude Rosh Hashanah? Why do they have to come back and?
No, that's what he's saying. He's saying if you plan on returning, then you should have to do bedikah no matter what time of the year it is.
It's understood. If it's more than 30 days, it could be 9 months before.
Right. So Rosh Hashanah is just the most extreme. It's almost, it's like the Rishonim speak out, it's lav dafka. It's just try to be an extreme case of many, many months before. So El Amar Rava. So Rava changes it up, and this is the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Ha da amit kaidim shloishim yom ein zokul gavar. When did we say that if you leave more than 30 days, you don't have to do bedikah? Lo yamar and elo shein daiti lachzer. If you don't plan on returning. If you plan on returning, even if you leave Rosh Hashanah time, you need to do a bedika. Okay, so this is somewhat, I guess, halacha ma'aseh. If a person leaves his house more than 30 days before, but he plans on coming back shortly before Pesach, he would have to do a bedika. What was the first comment of the Gemara? That if I leave my house within 30 days, I have to do a bedika. Those are the two comments of this Gemara. If I leave more than 30 days, and it depends. If I plan on making a if I plan on returning or I don't plan on returning. Let's say a guy leaves his house, you know, 2 months before Pesach and he's not coming back. He's going to Florida. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have to do a bedika. But let's say I'm leaving my house this year Tuesday night. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. I'm leaving my house Tuesday night. So the Gemara says you have to do a bedika.
Even though you're not going to be there,
you still need to do a bedika. What the Gemara does not say is, do you make a bracha? That the Gemara does not say.
So what are you being bedik? You're leaving all the chametz around.
So?
Yeah, right.
So what are you leaving for exactly?
Whatever you do. Again, the Gemara is presumed to be before this concept of mechiras chametz, where everyone sold their chametz. This is you being bedik, whatever chametz you're unaware of, that you don't know of. Or the chametz that you're selling and the chametz that you don't know of. There's tons of chametz you're just not aware of. So the question that really we need to see is what was the reason.
You can sell little pieces.
You can sell whatever someone wants to buy.
One second. Isn't the whole thing you sell? You have to sell something of mamashis. You can't sell crumbs.
Why not? Someone wants really? To buy it. I don't. If someone wants to buy it, you can sell it. Right? Often people ask. People say they have this minute. They don't sell open things. I have no idea where that comes from. If the guy wants to buy it, the guy wants to buy it. The only thing I believe there's no market value for is blias. I don't believe there's a market value for absorptions in your pots. I don't know anyone that would buy the rights to have the absorptions of your pots. I can't use your pot, but I can have the rights to the absorption. I would not pay a dime for that. I'd pay for crumbs. I don't know. People would pay for it. Absorption in a pot, I wouldn't pay for. I don't know what that is. Absorption, people sell it today. Very often, in Mechiras Chametz, people say, okay, so I'm selling you my pots. So I tell the person, no, don't sell your pots, because then you have to do Tefillas Kelim. So don't do that. What's the other option? So I sell the Blias. I said, you don't have to sell Blias. No one wants it. No one's buying it. And there's no need to. Because what are you worried about? You're going to cook it on Pesach? You know, the dishes are put away. The only thing we do sell is we sell the chametz attached to the kelim. That's what we do sell. If there happens to be any chametz that's stuck to it, so you can argue no one's going to buy that either. But okay, that is at least mamashis. Someone will buy that. There's a market for anything that people want to buy. But if there's no market for it and then no one's going to buy it, then you can't sell. That's the way I understand. So this thing about open things is, I think, made up. People, I don't sell open things. I don't know why not. Just for the record, I say it's important to note, for those of you who don't sell chametz gomer, whatever your family's minig is, plain flour is not chametz gomer, contrary to popular opinion. Both the OU and the Star K hold plain flour is not chametz gomer. L'chatchilo, you should get rid of it before Pesach, but it's not chametz gomer. So even if you're makbid not to sell chametz gomer, Rabbi Salvechik was very makbid not to sell chametz gomer, and he told all his talmidim as well, flour is not chametz gomer. Plain, untouched flour is not chametz gomer. You could sell it to the guy, and after Pesach, your wife can make challah, make shlosel challah, whatever else they put into the challah after Pesach. That's a shmuz for a different time. But just, it's important to note that that is not chametz gomer. Okay, so in any case, that's the Maskanas HaGemar. So the Shaila that comes up now in the Rishonim is, we did Mechiras Chametz, I think, last year. We talked about what you can and can't sell, the schnapps and all the other good things that are out there for Mechiras Chametz. The Shaila is, do you make a bracha? This is Negei Halacha L'Maaseh. Many people leave a couple days before Pesach. They go away, they go to Eretz Yisrael, they travel, or whatever it is. Or very often yeshiva boys that are in dormitories, and they leave. It seems like it's leaving earlier and earlier, the Yeshiva Bochum. It used to be they used to leave Zayin. Now they're out by Tezvav Adar, it's already over. So whatever they leave, it's almost going to be a Shaila of Kaidim Shloshim Yom already. But some of these Yeshiva boys are leaving more than 30 days before. But whatever the case may be, so what do you do a bedika? How do you make a bedika? But the $1 million question is, do you make a bracha on that bedika? If I leave my house Tuesday night, Wednesday night before Pesach, would I make a bracha on that bedika? So Pashas.
That's the Havamini, why you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Havamina is you would, because the Gemara says that every time you do Bedika, you make a bracha. The Gemara says here that you need to do Bedika. So if you would have just assumed the simple Gemara, you would conclude that you would have to make a bracha. However, like everything else in the world, it's a Machloikis Rishayim. If you look in the Kolba, you'd say Memches. The Kolba is a great sefer. No one knows who wrote it, but we love the name of it. Kolba. Everything is in here. Right? That basically says that my sefer's got it all. It's a fancy way of saying my sefer is the best. That's the name of the sefer called Kolboy. Everything is here. We're not sure who the author is, but it was one of the Rishonim. And he writes like this, Yeshayim, there are those who say, Shemivarchim b'shas habir, that you make a bracha on the time of beer. Again, here beer means bedika. Af al pi shem rechoykim mena Pesach. Even though you're doing your bedika way before Pesach, you still make a bracha. Yeshayim, shem b'varchim. No, some say you don't make a bracha. Acha she'en ze beer mamish. This is not real. Elo b'or abba aser. So he brings down two sheets, Rishayim, whether or not you make a bedika before Leil Yudalid. Now the Shaila is, we had two cases in our Gemara of an early bedika. We had one case of within 30 days, and we had one case within 6 months, but planning on returning. Which cases is the Kolbay discussing? Is he discussing both cases? The Machlokes Rishonim is in both cases. Or perhaps there's a difference between the case of within 30 days and the case of the guy who's going to return sometime before Pesach. It's not clear from the Kolbay. Comes along the Bach, and the Bach wants to say that there's really no Machlokes in the Kolbay. Although it does not sound like that to me and you when you read the Kolbay sounds like it's a Machlokes Rishonim. Comes along the Bach in number 6 and he writes, he quotes the Kolbay, and on the second line he writes, V'liyira l'kayim divrei shneim. Says the Bach, I want to be able to fulfill both opinions in the Rishonim. Why? When you're within 30 days, you need to do a bedika. Why? When you're doing a bedika within 30 days of Pesach, on let's say Tuesday night or Wednesday night, then that's considered that you had an obligation to do it. And for you, tonight is like the 14th, and therefore chayv levarich. But if you're leaving more than 30 days before Pesach, why are you doing B'dikah 6 months before Pesach? Only because you're afraid that you may show up on Pesach and find chametz. Therefore, Zakhtar Bach, you don't really have an obligatory responsibility of B'dikah. Therefore, ein loy levarich. So what the Bach just did over here was he learned the Kolboy that they're not arguing. The Yeshayimim are talking about two different scenarios. Again, doesn't sound like that from the Kolbay. You read the Kolbay, it sounds like a Machlokes Rishonim. And I'll show you in other Rishonim, it's pretty clear like this. But for some reason, the Bach thinks it depends on what the story is. Even though the Gemara lumped the two together, says the Bach, well, it depends. If you're leaving 2 days before Pesach, and you're not going to come home, you're going away for Yom Tov, then you make a bracha on the Bedikah. However, if you're leaving 6 months before Pesach, and you plan on coming back home on Erev Pesach, then there's no bracha. That's the Bach's understanding.
I would thought it would be the opposite.
Why?
If you're doing the bedika because lemaisa,
it's good.
No gaya to you because you don't want to be overwhelmed by much, and then it should make a bracha.
Very
if
good.
If you're going to be there, then why bother?
Good. That's what we're going to have to see today, why that's not true.
I don't think Bob's saying there's no machlokas. I think he's just saying that he wants to be machriya, so we cover like this Rishon in this case.
Unless you say that what the Kolbay is saying is, well, we paskin like the Yeshayim in this case. Yeah, but he has a line over here. What does he say? He says, I want to make a pshara. Doesn't say the word pshara. Yeah. Right, I guess he's learning that there is a machlokes, but this is the way I'm ruling. I'm ruling this way versus that way.
Why would you think to make a bracha before 30 days if Mara says you don't have to do a bira at all?
No, more than 30 days when you plan on coming home. I mean, I leave my house 6 months before Pesach, and I'm showing up on Erev Pesach. So then the Gemara says you need to do a bedika. So I would have assumed whenever you need to do a bedika, it needs to be with a brach.
Where's the 30-day cutoff from?
So the Gemara says on the bottom of the Yomid, the Gemara says the 30 days is based on the din of Shalom Adorshin, Bechas HaPesach, Kaidim HaPesach, Shalom Shem Yom.
How does that relate to...
So Rashi has a comment that it has to do with the fact that you're already involved in Tzarchi HaPesach. We'll need to talk more about it in the long. Obviously, this is very difficult. It makes no sense. It's a funny cutoff. We'll have to hopefully try to develop it a little bit more.
The whole point of the year itself is because
we're going to
find...
maybe. That's what we're going to get to tonight. I don't know what day we're in. Yeah, we'll see. That's what I want to get to today. This is all going to bring us back to the Shaila of why we do B'dikas and Chametz in the first place. That's what I want to get to hopefully a little later today. So let's see Shulchan Aruch. Again, you ask anyone in the street. Ask anyone. If you're leaving before Leil Pesach, when do you do B'dikas? They all know the answer. They all know you do B'dikas Chametz, and they all know the answer. Do you make a bracha? The answer always is
no.
You don't even need rabbis for this. Everyone knows. No brach. Why is that so pashut? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it is pretty pashut, because the Rama writes like that. In Shulchan Aruch, Tof Lamed Vav, the Shulchan Aruch writes, HaMefarish Me'yabosh Aliyam, Ayotze Bishiroi, the guy leaves, goes to dry land, or he goes from dry land to water, or he goes in a caravan, today we'd call that an airplane, Ve'ena Me'niach Be'besi Mishiv, there's nowhere home to do B'dikah for him, so it depends. Toich Shloshim Yoyim, if it's within 30 days, Zokog Levar, Zokog Livdok, he needs to do B'dikah. Parentheses, the lo yivarech oz al bir chametz, but he does not recite the bracha of bir chametz.
He's the first one to use the word livdok.
Yeah, that's correct. We'll see where that comes from. Hopefully, a little later. So the Rama in Shulchan Aruch paskens clearly that if you're leaving your house more than or laba, so you cannot be in your house. You do a bedika, but without a bracha. So that's perhaps one. See, what's the parentheses? The kolboy. That's not clear who wrote the parentheses. If the parentheses was the Rama or the parentheses was a printer, that's one opinion in the kolboy. Again, according to the way the Bach learned the Kolboy, that's not the Kolboy. Masha Inkin, according to the other way, it's one Shita in the Kolboy that holds you make a bracha. What's Pshat in this Shita that holds you don't make a bracha? Again, the Bach disagrees. It's a Machloikis Achroinim. The Bach was also an Achron. So was the Ramah. They were Achroinim. So the Bach holds you would make a bracha, while the Ramah holds you don't make a bracha. And we all know in our heads that we pass in like the Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what is Taka Pshat? Why don't I make a bracha? So he explains the number 8, Sifkat and Dalet. Kishaboydik belal yudalet, tiknu levarach al bir chametz. When you do bedik on the night of the 14th, there was a bracha that was attached to it. What's the bracha? Al bir chametz. Why? The fisha mashu hu moitzi bebedikasai hu matzniya kedei levar lemach. Because whatever you find that night, you store away to burn tomorrow. Nimtzai comes out, ta habedika hu hascholos habir. Comes out that the bedika is the starting process of the burning. What's the case over here? You're doing B'dikas Chametz on Tuesday night. What's going to happen after you do B'dikas Chametz Tuesday night? Nothing. It's going to be Wednesday. It's going to be Thursday. And then first Friday, you'll get to burning the Chametz, if at all. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not the starting process to the procedure. There's too much downtime. There's too much break between the procedure of B'dika and the procedure of beer. Therefore, they're not connected. I can't recite the bracha al beer chametz. So rules the Mishnah Berurah in understanding the shita that holds you don't make a bracha.
If you take the 10 pieces of chametz, whatever you find in B'dika, and you take them with you to wherever you're going,
that's right.
You're going to burn that. So, b'chara, you should have to make the bracha.
That, well, again, but there's no obligation. There's a break in the obligation. It sounds like, and we'll see this more meforish in Rishonim, that there has to be a connection between A and B. If A happens, you know, 2 months before B happens, you can't really connect the two. So here,
it's got to be 24 hours. Maybe it's 72 or
okay. Four. I mean, that might be up for discussion. That might be good for the machlokes b'shoinim. Can I still connect the bedika to the beer, even though there's 3 or 4 days in between the two of them? Mishnah Berurah brings down over in the Ber Halacha. Before we see the Ber Halacha, let's see the Meiri. The Meiri writes, V'chol elu sheboit kaidem hazman. All of these who do bedika earlier than the zman. So what does it sound like from the Meiri? It sounds like both the 30 days before and both the guy who was 6 months before. Some say you don't make a bracha. Now we're getting into a different lumnus. The lumnus is that when did Chazal be mesakin to do bedika? They were mesakin at Lel Yudalid. Therefore, if you're not doing it as per the takana, you don't make a bracha. Yet you still have to do it. It's a funny middle ground. It's enough to be considered a dinner. You have to do it, but you're not doing it kitikuna, and therefore you don't make a bracha. Some say you do make a bracha. I don't think so, and therefore he disagrees with this shayla. So it's machlokes b'shoinim clearly about this din.
Rav was the one who said that you're leaving to do bedik. So what do they do before Rav?
Well, I don't know. Doesn't say. They don't know. All you know from the Mishnah is Orla Basa, Bais Kinesa Chametz. That's all we know. We don't know anything more. But the Ber Halacha brings down more b'shoinim about this topic. He writes, "Kein v'chein hu das ha-levush." Number 10, the levush also holds like the Rama that no bracha. Omnom das ha-bach the b'terach shoshim yom tzarich levarich. You should know the bach disagrees. The bach holds that if it's within 30 days, you have to make a bracha. V'rak heicha shetzarich levde koydim shloshim yom. But when you're doing a bedika more than 30 days, then ain't tzarich levarich. The das ha-prichadosh, but the prichadosh which we'll see in a minute, till oilam tzarich levarich. The prichadosh tells you always make a bracha. Why? Kivin dechayvu chachamim levdeik. The Bichadish takes the other opinion. If I have to do a bedika, then I have to make a bracha. What's this middle ground that I have to do it, but I don't make a bracha? If I'm fulfilling Chazal's takana, I make a bracha. Habaydik tzarech shivarech. If I'm not fulfilling Chazal's takana, then why am I bothering in the first place? However, says the Ber Halacha, u'mestimas hamagin avram v'ataz v'sharach reinim, mashma detofsu kedas ha'ago. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is it that the common custom today is not to make a bracha? It's because most of the other achrenim seem to have sided with the Rama, they don't make a bracha. Ochin, however, says the Ber Halacha, it's not so simple, because matzasi b'chadusha ritva. I found other rishonim who talk about it. Now, I'm not surprised that the Ber Halacha didn't quote the Meiri, because they didn't have the Meiri. The Meiri is one of the more newer found rishonim. But we already saw this in other rishonim. We saw the Meiri discusses this, and the Kolbe has a machloikis rishonim, says the Ber Halacha, it's machloikis between the ritva and the ra'a. Why? It says like this, v'das ra'a, t'chol shezokog levarim mevorach al abir. The ra'a's opinion is that whenever you're doing bedika, you always make a bracha. On that says the Ritva, I think it depends. I think if it's only within 30 days. So Zok the Ber Halacha comes out, it comes out that the Ra'ah holds like the Prichadosh, and so it comes out we have the Ra'ah and the Ritva both online, at least for our case, that within 30 days you'd have to make a bracha. The only point of argument would be the guy who leaves 6 months before. So now it really is strange. We have a large group of Rishonim that think that you should make a bracha in the case of Toich Lamed. Concludes the Mishnah Berurah.
The Ra'ah and the Ritva agree? Or
they agree only in one case. They agree in the case of Toich Shloshim. Because the Machlokes is pre-Chodesh in the Bach. What happens if it's within more than 30 days? Within 30 days, both the Bach and the Pri Chodesh, do you make a bracha? Both the Ritva and the Raho, do you make a bracha? The only argument would be, what happens if I'm doing Bedikah 6 months before Pesach, with the intention of coming back before Pesach? That's where the Pri Chodesh says yes bracha, the Bach says no bracha, the Ritva says no bracha, the Raho says yes bracha.
Isn't the issue that they hold that within 30 days it's close enough to be somach to the mitzvah?
That's what it sounds like, yeah. So which is interesting, which should come out, that we have both the Ritva and the Raw and the Pri Chodesh and the Bach and one sheet in Kolba and one sheet in Mi'i that all hold that Teich Shloshim, you do make a bracha. Yet we don't make a bracha. It's an interesting thing. Yeah.
The person who leaves Tuesday and is in another house Thursday, so he would make two brachas?
That's correct. According to these sheets, we don't pass like that. We pass in halacha l'maisa that if you're leaving Tuesday night's without a bracha, and depending where you are Thursday, you might have to make another bracha, depending on your situation. If you're renting, if you're a guest, it depends on one situation. But it's just interesting to me, there are many rishonim that hold, you do need to make a bracha on Tuesday night. Yet everyone in the room told me that when you leave Tuesday night, you don't make a bracha. That's because we know the Ramah. The Ramah says you don't make a bracha, but it's definitely not pashut. And the reason probably why we do that is because we always follow the rule of Safik Brachas Lahakal. Since it is a Machloikish B'Shainim and it's Machloikish Ramah and the Bach, we go Lahakal. But definitely there is room to think that one should have to make a Brach. But what's the Lomdush of Machloikish B'Shainim over here? What's the Lomdush Shaila of whether or not a guy who leaves Toich Lamed, should he make a Brach or shouldn't he make a Brach? So if you look in Harry Kedem, he explains it with a Lomdush twist. I think it's Muchach, such a Lomdush in the Prichadish as well, as we'll see. He writes like this, number 11 on the bottom left corner, Ochin Yesh La'ayin. What attack is a pshat when a guy goes, leaves his house Tuesday night and he does bedika? What's this bedika? Is this really my everyone has a chiv to be bedik lel yedalad? What happens if I'm not home lel yedalad? Then the mikivin dein biyodi livdek bezmanoi lachen koshu b'seich lamed yoyim shemutol of lizar b'seich haPesach who mischayv kvar me'achshav lasis is a bedika shalel yedalad. One way of looking at it is the real chiv is lel yedalad. Not Yud Gimel, not Yud Beis, not Yud Aleph. That's it. So what's going on over here? So Chazal said, you know what? You're not going to be able to get it the way we want it. So we'll give you like a makeup date. We'll give you a day to get it done, even though it's not really the way we want it.
It's like early voting.
It's right. And one of those types of coolers that we give because we really wanted it to be now. You can't. It's impossible. So we'll give you a b'dievet shasat chak. We'll allow you to do it earlier. That's one sad. Or Yudil Mokol Halamid Yoyim Him Zman B'dikim Tzaratzma. The other way to look at it is that's not the pshat. Pshat is all 30 days prior to Pesach is acceptable to do the bedikah. We would prefer, we would like it to be done early yodalad, but be'etzem, any one of these times is acceptable for doing bedikah's chametz. What would be a possible nafkamina? Let's say a guy got it wrong this year. He did bedikah Tuesday night. He's going to be home for the whole Pesach. He's been ready kosher Pesach for 2 weeks. He did bedikah Tuesday night. He read the email wrong. He did bedikah Tuesday night. He comes back to shul Wednesday morning. He asks everyone how long was their bedikah's chametz. And the guy looks at bedikah's chametz. You're a night off. But he did it. Would that constitute bedikah's chametz, bedievet? Would he be able to justify making another brach on Thursday night?
He hasn't left.
And he's not going anywhere. He's going to be home in his house. There's no more chametz coming in. Could that be a justifiable zman? I think it should be telling this chakir. If the pshat was, we gave you a heter for al apil tzarchoi, for whatever the case is, so this guy doesn't fit that criteria, he didn't do it right. Mashenkin, if bidiyeved, the whole 30 days counts as a zman, maybe bidiyeved, which this guy is a bidiyeved, maybe we would allow the bidika to go through. It's a shayla.
I don't understand this whole second side of the chakir, because how could you say the whole zman? The Gemara says, or la abbas, or both.
100% the Gemara says. The Mishnah says, or la abbas.
Yeah, so
the assumption is that's preferred. That's the preferred version. We'd love it to be. Doesn't mean the other dates are not viable.
But what about actual beer?
Yeah.
Is that also within 30 days?
So that the Achorinim assume is only B'yom HaRishon Tashbis. That's impossible, right? B'yom HaRishon.
So if the Bedik is connected to the beer, then how does that...
Oh, good. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about, hopefully in a few minutes. So he writes over here, in number 11, he writes, U'bir machlikosam nira. Zokte, that's pshad machlikis rishonim. Whether you make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. Nira. Very nicely. He says like this, the im achshav chal olav achiv shal badika ubir shalel yudalit. If your chiv is really tonight, my yud beis is the yudalit for the rest of the world, and I'm doing what Chazal wanted, then I make a bracha. And it became pshit nishem avarach. Achi neim adahu chiv levaris achamitz kol amid yoy. But then the sovkos of ikra azman ubi yoyim yudal davka. Valkeini efshal varach abadika shal achshav. Kim shana mitzvah bishlemusam achmas chiyuv adalel yudalit. Chayyur, you could be told in, how do you understand the chiyuv? What is my chiyuv now? Do I have a real chiyuv now? Well, I don't really have a chiyuv now. My real chiyuv doesn't start till Lel Yudal. That's perhaps totally a little bit in the lumbus.
Why?
Yeah.
Did I hear you correctly say that in this?
Harry Kedem.
That the scenario is that he is going to be.
He's talking about the case of the guy's leaving before Yom Tov.
So he's not coming back.
Not coming back. No. Okay. So, but if you look in the Pri Chodosh, it's kemat muchach this lomdas in the Pri Chodosh. Because look at the Pri Chodosh. He quotes the Bach, and he says, "I don't like the Bach. Why not?" Three lines in, he says, "Vani yoyim eloi kidevizeh veloi kidevizeh." I don't like the Bach, and I don't like any of the Rishonim. El dechol shachayiv lived like pshitah demavarach. Anytime you have to do bedika, you have to make a brach. But look at the end. He writes, "Veloi domi." He says, maybe this should be compared to a case of a guy who goes to a deserted island and he has no Megillah. So halach is, he reads Megillah Yiraf without a bracha. So why don't we say the same thing also? The guy's leaving Yud Beis. He's not doing what he could. So we'll do it without a bracha as well. Says the Pichad, no. The answer is because that's not really the time to read the Megillah. The time to read the Megillah is Yudalar or Tezvav. We gave certain leniencies to certain people. Maybe. If you live in it, but not if a guy goes on vacation, he doesn't get that leniency. Therefore, he doesn't get a bracha. Aval hocha kula shatas manahu. But Zot B'chadosh, the 30 days is the time to do B'dikas Chametz. Don't look at it that it's really supposed to be Yudalar and I'm working on a B'diyavit. This is Alechat Chila. So the Pichadosh clearly is understanding that when Chazal said that you're supposed to do Bedika before, or 6 months before, that wasn't because we have no choice. That was because that's part, or at least the case of 30 days before, that's part of the original Takonas Chazal to do Bedika's Chametz. They were Masakin to do Bedika early Abba Asr, or any time within the 30 days of Pesach. So therefore he says, I don't see why I don't make a brach.
Yeah. If he made a bracha before, and then he had to make a second time, the first one would be a bracha.
Where's the second time? In the same house? If he did it earlier?
If he did it earlier, he can't do it a second time because then the first one becomes a bracha.
Yeah, it would be. The question is, does he have to make the second one for bracha, or could b'diavad we accept the first one? That's what we'll see as a machlokes in the Achrayim. So the lomdasha argument over here is, how did the Chazal structure this? Did they say, we want b'dikas on the 14th night, and that's it? But if a guy's going away, we want to make sure he does it, so we'll let him do it earlier. No. Chazal structured it that within the 30 days is part and parcel of the actual chiv, and therefore one should be able to make a bracha. But this is still shver, because what exactly is the point of machloikis in the Bach? The Bach has this middle ground. Within 30 days, you make a bracha. More than 30 days, you don't make a bracha. What's that all about? What's that middle ground of the Bach? So the chayyur, to answer this, we have to go back a couple of steps and understand, why are we baiting chametz in the first place? But before that, we have to figure out, what does the Gemara mean when it says that when you baiting chametz, you make a bracha? Why is that a chiddush? Frekteran in number 13. Habaydik sarach shivarech. Vim toim, afrekteran pshita. V'lom alo yivarech. Kishem shum avarech. Ala mitzvah skulan. The Gemara walks in the Pesachim daf, zayin, a chiddush. You should make a bracha when you do baiting chametz. Why is that a chiddush? You make a bracha on every mitzvah that you do. Says the Ran, Yeshloim at the Hokam Ashmon, the Afal Gav, the Bir Chametz. Ikur HaMitzvah, even though, what's the real mitzvah? Let's be honest, the real mitzvah is the burning. That's what it says in the Torah. This Bedika is not the Ikur HaMitzvah. Afilu Hachi, Mishoshu Maschil Ba, the moment you started the procedure, the Hainu, Bishas Bedika, Mevorach Halal. So what's the Ran's answer? It's Taka Chiddush over here. You would have thought that when should you make the bracha at the final result, when you're actually doing the mitzvah? Kamashmon, no, you even make a bracha on the starting of the mitzvah. Umiyu, ein mevarchen livdoik ela levayr. So why isn't the bracha livdoik? So ikur kavanas habedika hu abir. Because what really is the kavana is the beer, which means it sounds like almost like from the Ran that the beginning is really just a chetimtzah to get to the end. The bedika is not a thing on its own. It's not a procedure. It's not a ma'ase mitzvah lachshal atzma. It's merely a chetimtzah to get to your final result. That's the whole purpose of the bedika.
No.
That's a shiloh when you have. We'll get to the mitzvah eis, and ask this kasha. When do you make a bracha on a haschalah? When do you make a bracha on a gemar? Sure. Very often you'd make the bracha depending on what type of mitzvah you have. Very often there's either a complete separation between the two, like making a sukkah and sitting in the sukkah is very different than starting the bedika and the burning, which we'll have to see in a second. But what I want from this Ran is, you see from the Ran that the mitzvah is really tashbisu, but what's bedika? Bedika, he calls haschalas a mitzvah. He doesn't say it's not a mitzvah, he says it's the beginning of the mitzvah. And you don't make a bracha on the beginning, but rather you make a bracha on the end of the mitzvah.
Is beer an active mitzvah, or is it result-oriented?
because this is sounding like more the action. We're focused on the maisa than the result.
Well, we have a maisa bedika.
Because if I could somehow get rid of the chametz without any of this,
right,
that would be fine, right? If it's just a result.
Right, right, exactly.
You wouldn't make a bracha on bedika.
That's what I want to get to. If bedika is merely just a chatimsa to get to a beer, let's say there's other ways you can do that, right? You can have cleaning and the house is clean, so that's also a chametz-free. If the whole purpose is to create a chametz-free house, so what type of mitzvah is that? It's really just an outcome, not so much a mice.
Well, this happens Friday morning. I didn't do a bedika this whole week. I see 10 pieces of bread, but I make a bracha then.
No, so that's what we'll see in a second. The Rosh is going to say, then we definitely don't make a bracha on the beer. We only make a bracha at the bedikah.
Even though the bracha is...
Even though the bracha is text, it sounds like on the beer. If you look in the Ritvam Psachim, he says it even more, I think, extreme. He writes, what's the chiddush? Haboidik sar shevarach mishum te'ikar ha-mitzvah hainu beer. The main mitzvah is the burning. Ve'im bedikah ela kitikun ve'hechsha. What is the bedika? It's just, you can't burn nothing. You have to have what to burn. So I'm searching, so I should have what to burn. So where does that leave bedika now? It leaves it as a very watered down mitzvah, at best. It's just to get you to step B. So he calls that a heksha mitzvah. We've spoken about many times, how do you treat a heksha mitzvah? Amasha, some Rishonim hold getting married is only a heksha mitzvah. The real mitzvah is to have children. But since we don't have children, we're not getting married, so marriage now becomes what we call a heksha mitzvah. You know, preparing for Shabbos might be a heksher mitzvah because you can't cook on Shabbos, so you have to have food for Shabbos. So the prep that you do on Erev Shabbos is to ensure you have what to eat on Shabbos. That's a heksher mitzvah. Do you make a bracha on a heksher mitzvah? What's the halachic outlook on a heksher mitzvah? Is it itself a mitzvah? Is it itself a dover choshev? Or it's merely just a chetimtzah to get to the next step?
Also, this isn't that the 10 pieces of bread.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Because the house is so clean. It's so
yeah, we'll get to that, hopefully. We'll talk more about the 10 pieces. But this is all if you are assuming that the bedikah is a reflection of the beer chametz. Comes along the Maram Chalava in his commentary to Psachim, and he writes like this. First line, at the end, he writes, "Umay de mevarch b'loshen beer." Why is the text of the bracha burning? That's so the Ritva and Rashi and the Ran answered, because it's the start of the process, so we make the bracha based on the end result. So, okay, lav loshen tzveifahu. Beer doesn't mean to burn. You're not burning it. The word beer means to search. I don't think that's the way Archbold translates it in the Haggadah, right? But Zakhtam Ram Chalava, we all have it wrong. Beer chametz doesn't mean the burning of the chametz. But rather, from a pasuk in the Torah, Bi'arti HaKadosh Min HaBayis. We say that on Erev Pesach in the fourth year, when you get rid of the maestris, you have to say Bi'arti. It doesn't mean I burnt. It means I cleaned out. I rid my house from all the things. The Hilkach Yotzla Mizel Minog HaNoshim. Says Maram Chalava, this is where it came from, a women's minhag. Shemazminos chametz b'shas bedika k'dei shalei te brachal v'atol. So Maram Chalava blames the women over here that they thought beer chametz meant burning the chametz. So they thought you got to burn something. So they were afraid if you're going to make the brachal beer chametz and there's no chametz in the house, there'll be a brachal v'atol. So they ran around and started putting out 10 pieces of bread. Says Maram Chalava, they didn't know how to translate the word beer. Beer means to check. Al beer chametz means on the checking of the chametz. He says the lav minagu dein abroch el al achipush. They got it all wrong. It's not what the word means. So according to the Maram Chalava, so the text of the bracha is reflective of the act itself. It's not this lumness that we're saying that the nusach HaBracha is reflecting on the final result, the later result, the burning. No. The bracha is reflective of the act that you're doing right now.
So then he would have a second bracha the next day to burn it.
No, then he'd have a kasha. Why does it have a bracha later? Right. That's right. That's a good kasha. According to him, he'd have a stronger kasha. Why is there no bracha on the actual burning? That's a good question. The other Rishonim will tell you, no. This bracha is going on both. Then we come to the Rosh. Dr. Rosh number 16. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Aboidik Tzorich Shivarech. One who does the bedikah needs to make a bracha. Zok to Rosh, Deloy Tema, don't say, Einoi Kol Kach Mitzvah. Don't argue that you don't have to make a bracha on bedikah Shamas because it's not such a mitzvah. What does that mean? It's not such a mitzvah.
Because the
Iker is really... Ah, Kiven De Einoi Elo Levarech HaChametz Min HaBayis. Because the real mitzvah is to get rid of the chametz. So the Ran said, the chiddush on bedikas chametz is that you're making a bracha on the haschala and not on the gemar. Says the Rosh, no, the chiddush over here is that maybe even the first procedure, the bedikas chametz, is not really such a mitzvah. Even though it's takanas chazal, it should become a mitzvah. Well, it's not such a mitzvah. Why not? Because all I'm really doing is ridding the house of chametz. Frek the Rosh, umashe mevarchem al bir b'shach hamishis. So why don't we make a bracha when we actually burn the chametz? Fifth hour, when we burn the chametz. When we burn the chametz in our Pesach, that's a fulfillment of the Din D'oraisa. And some people hold that every chametz you eat up till Erev Pesach is a fulfillment of Tashbisu. So every single time you eat something now in your house to empty out your fridge, according to some Rishonim, you eat to the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So you won't get calories for it because it's Jewish eating. So you don't have to worry. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So any single time you empty out anything in your house now, till Erev Pesach, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay. It doesn't work for me, but if it works for other people, by all means. But nonetheless, Zokti Rosh, a gewaldige chiddush in bir chametz. Zokti Rosh, Oimer ani, I hold. The hoitzos chametz min abayis koidim zman isurel loy nafik me Tashbisu. Zokti Rosh, when we burn our chametz in Erev Pesach, we're not getting any fulfillment of a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah.
When we burn
our chametz before the Isser, right, we like to burn our chametz before it becomes Asser, we don't get any credit for the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So what does Tashbisu mean? Zog to Rosh, a gaval de chiddush. He says, the ha'omer of Akiva Tashbisu ha'nisreif v'loi tzivsa Torah l'sof e'la acha shekvar nesa. The Torah only wants you to burn it once it already became Asser. When I burn my chametz before Pesach, it's still my chametz, it's not Asser yet, I have 2-3 minutes. According to this Rosh, you want to be Yaisa Tashbisu, burn your chametz at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then you'll be Yaisa, the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Now, so he says, Umash ma'itzinai simna bayis, so why do we do it? Hainu shalo yavar olav v'bal yiro. We only read our house, so we don't want to be ever bal yiro. V'im v'furish ba mitzvah seseh min atayu she mitzvah levar chalav. Gevaldik, Zok to Rosh. You know why you don't make a brach on bir chametz? Because bir chametz is not really a mitzvah. The real mitzvah is not bir chametz. Bir chametz is burning it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which none of us do.
At that point, it's not yours anymore.
That's true.
I have a
Mr. Person. Yes, that's true for Nicer also.
No, Nicer belongs to you. Nicer eats. Here,
that's what the Torah wanted you to do. Tashbis, the Torah gave you a specific tzivoy to burn it at this point. Now, again, we don't assume like this. What? You can't be vatal because bittul is totally inviolate. You can burn things that are not yours.
So he's right. Why are you being served?
But again, but you're not stealing from anyone. You're not stealing. It's not like it belongs to someone else.
No, but you're not yours. The chiyuv.
No, because you're thinking your chiyuv is connected to owning the chametz.
Well, he connected to
Bayir Abayimotz. Oh, exactly. So what's his oisphere? Why do you talk it? So why do we do beer chametz? So we shouldn't violate Bayir Abayimotz. Because if I'm going to have chametz in my possession when this man hits, I'm going to be over Bayir Abayimotz. So it comes out according to this. As long as I just throw it out into the Rishus Rabbim, I won't be over Bayir Abayimotz. Okay, this is a very bichidish in Sreifas Chametz. But bringing this back to our sugya, according to the Rosh, so now you have to ask yourself, so why do you make a bracha on Bedikas Chametz? Bishlom in the Ran, Bir Chametz was a mitzvah, and this was the starting process. So the bracha is reflective of that. But according to the Rosh, there is no mitzvah called Bir Chametz. It doesn't exist. What we do on Erev Pesach is not the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So where's my bracha? My bracha is on what? It's on the Bedika? That's a mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? The Rosh says, I would thought it's not such a mitzvah. When it is a mitzvah. What's the havamina? What's the maskan according to the Rosh? Very unclear. The Karban Nisanal points out over here a pshat that's very difficult to understand. The Karban Nisanal learns in the Rosh that when he says the ene kol kach mitzvah, it means because it's only a mitzvah derabbanu. So the Karban Nisanal number 17, v'ze ene mitzvah seseh min ha-Torah. So everyone asks on the Karban Nisanal, what are you talking about? We have so many mitzvahs derabbanu that we make brachas on. What type of kash is that? Every Drabbana we make a bracha on. Chanukah, Megillah. Okay, Megillah maybe is not a Drabbana, we spoke about that already. Neir Shabbos, tons of Drabbanas you make brachas. That can't be the reason that I would have thought you don't make a bracha on Medikas Chametz because it's only a mitzvah Drabbana. What you're going to have to say in the Rosh is, in the Karban Nisanal is, that there's two types of Drabbanas. There's a Drabbana where Chazal wanted you to do something, they wanted you to do a certain act. Light Neir Chanukah, light Neir Shabbos, read a Megillah. So that you make a bracha. What does Chazal want you to do over here? They wanted you to search for chametz, so you shouldn't be over bal yiro bal yimotze. It's really not the act specifically is what Chazal wanted. They really wanted the outcome. The outcome of a chametz-free house. I'll come back to, yeah, I'm going to get to them in a second. That's where I want to go with afterwards. That machlok is Rashi and Tosfos in Pesachim, the beginning of Pesachim. If you assume, like the way the Rosh writes it, the ein el levaris the chametz min abayis, that the whole purpose of the bedika is just the final result, to have a chametz-free zone, which the Rosh learns means you shouldn't violate bal yiro bal yimotze, maybe on such a derabbanan you don't make a bracha. Meaning it's not like all derabbanans are created equally. Megillah is not just, it's not that an outcome. We want the procedure itself. We want you to read Megillah. We want you to light Ne'er Shabbos. Here we want you to have a chametz-free zone.
But and the way Erev seems more like Bedika. It's not like a positive, like lighting Hanukkah.
Well,
then you from the Hotzah.
Right.
You created a system.
Right, then you have to figure out. That's what we're going to talk a little bit more about. Which Durabonans are direct commandments versus just Siog Vigeder to be over in this. That's perhaps what you have to say in the Rosh. But the Chayru, all this brings us back to the original question of why do we do Bedikas Chametz in the first place? So the Mishnah says in Pesachim number 19, Or la ba'asar, boikinas ha-chametz la in there. 14th night, we do b'dikas chametz. Why? Why did Chazal institute b'dikas chametz? So as we know, there's a famous machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, in the first Amid in Pesachim. Tosfos quotes it over here from Rashi, Shelo yilaver olav ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi. Rashi says, you know why we do b'dikas chametz? So no one should violate ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi. Frank Tosfos, what are you talking about? You'll never be over ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi anyways. Why? Because you have to do bittel. Since we all do kol chamira, ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi means you're not allowed to own chametz that belongs to you. I'm not allowed to have chametz in my possession, that's mine. But if I do bittel, it's not mine. So if it's not mine, I'm not going to be over ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi. So what was Rashi's chat? If you don't clean your house of chametz, there might be a chirio under the rug, and you'll be over ba'al yirol ba'al yimotzi. Frank Tosfos, no, you won't. I was mevatel all my chametz. If I was mevatel all my chametz, I won't be ever by you or by Matze.
I'll eat it.
Whatever.
No, you're
a bit that might be a teretz. So Tosfos learns a different shot. Tosfos learns, you know why we do B'dikas chametz? It's not because of by you or by Matze. We're very worried that you may come to eat it. You're not allowed to eat someone else's chametz on Pesach either. You can't eat a guy's chametz on Pesach. Isser Chila is not telling that. And anyone who's ever been on a diet knows, if you want to ensure that you don't eat things, don't have it in your house. If you're going to have it in your house, it's very likely you're going to come to eat it. So Taisus explains even more than that. Taisus says, why don't you do this by other Isurei Achilas? Because this is fundamentally different. This is something that I can eat an hour ago or 2 days ago, and I will be able to eat it in a week from now. So I don't look at a bagel as machol as Asuris. So therefore, Chazal said, get rid of the food from the house because it's a siyog v'geder to ensure you don't come to eat it. So if machol is reshinim, why are we doing b'dikas chametz? So according to Rashi, it's so you shouldn't violate bayu abayu matzeh. According to Taisus, it's so you shouldn't come to eat it.
And bayu abayu matzeh is to actually see it.
It's to own it. Bayu means to own it. So therefore, if I own the chametz, it's in my house, I own it, I'm going
to
be violation.
So according to Tosfos, why would you have to do bedika if you're not going to be there for Pesach? Because you would never come, that would,
okay.
Practically speaking, it would never come.
Good, that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. The fitaisis, it's hard to understand. If you, yeah, I know. Much like Pesach, b'chi pazan over here. Okay, we're going
to
try our best.
Even according to Rashi, because Rashi later on says that you're going to find the Kuska.
Ah.
And right. It's only because Dato, like the Bayer of Aymas is not from before, it's only from on Pesach that you're going to be over Bayer of Aymas.
So that's the yishuv that the Rishayim and Achrayim give for Rashi. What does Rashi do with Tosfos' kashya?
But according to Rashi, then...
That's correct. If you're going like Rashi, that we're really afraid that your bittel wasn't a valid bittel, so then you'd also run into Ba'al Yirol Ba'al Yimotzeh problems.
If your bittel's not... Well, that's a question of whether you're making bittel b'dika because of whether...
That's right. Correct. But the Shiloh over here is the Pnei Shu'ah asks. What's interesting is, do we make brachas on mitzvahs that are there just to prevent us from violating Yisurim? Or not?
Yes, what? Eruv.
Okay. One second. Let's talk about a different case. Let's talk about a case of Bedikas Toloyim. You got to check for bugs. Would Bedikas Toloyim be a mitzvah to check for bugs? Is that a mitzvah? It's preventing this. That's not a mitzvah. You know, it's not a mitzvah. There's no brach on that. The mashgiach who checks all the lettuce or whoever they're checking today for bugs.
Mr. Rambam, maybe it says lahavdil.
Yeah.
Maybe checking the labels for the.
So let's go that way.
Might be a mitzvah.
I'm saying. That's what I want to figure out. So the Pnei Shu'ah asks. He asks on Tosfos, which is interesting because I would have asked on Rashi also. Both Rashi and Tosfos is a shver. If the whole b'dikas chametz was just not to violate an iser, what type of mitzvah is that? That's not a mitzvah. That's a geder. Chazal could put up barriers and tell us he can't do X, he can't do Y. Fine. That doesn't become a mitzvah. When Chazal made harchokas, does everything become a mitzvah? And you make a brach on that? Would you make a brach on bedikas telom? Of course not. So therefore, Frek the Pnei Yeshua, he asks on Tosfos, but I would ask on Rashi also. Why do we make a brach on bedikas chametz? It's not a mitzvah. It's just to ensure I don't violate an issa. What type of mitzvah is that? Neiros Chanukah is a mitzvah.
The beginning of Tashbisu, we said. It's not the beer, which is tashbisu.
That's only according to the Ram, maybe. But if you're learning now, they're explaining why we do b'dikas chametz. They're saying the reason why we do b'dikas chametz is for this reason. That should prevent it from being a regular mitzvah. Now, I found the Gevaldik Me'iri, very interesting Me'iri in number 26. The Me'iri is asking the kash that all the Rishayim deal with. Why is there no Shechianu on b'dikas chametz and Sveifas chametz? Everyone talks about the famous Balamor, the end of Psachim, with Sfira Sa'imer, the Biskarov. Okay, that's a classical Torah. But the Me'iri is an interesting Me'iri over here. He writes, why is there no Shechianu? And listen to what he writes in the bottom of number 23. Shemitzvah she'ein ikra la'atzmoy el hisrachekes aveira kigayim b'dika shehi lizor memitzias chametz ein bozman. He uses this svar to explain why there's no shechianu on b'dikas chametz. But he doesn't say, and therefore one shouldn't make a bracha. I would have used this svar to explain why there's no bracha b'chlal. He uses this svar to say that there's no bracha shachyanu. But we found, in we spoke about this when we did the sugya of kasher and kelim, that Darki Tshuva points out on page 3, why don't you make a bracha when you kasher kelim? When you tevil kelim, you make a bracha. Tevilas kelim is not as mefurish in the Torah as kasher and kelim. Kasher and kelim is mefurish in the Torah in Parashas Matos. Why is there no bracha on kasher and kelim? So we mentioned that Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt found in one of the old Haggadahs from India, where they used to have a nusach ha-bracha for kasher and kelim. But it's against all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim say there's no bracha on kasher and kelim. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah. Why do I kasher a pot? Because if I don't kasher the pot, I'm going to eat an iser. That's not a mitzvah. So why is B'dikas Chametz any more of a mitzvah? It's the same thing. So why? How do we justify making a bracha on B'dikas Chametz?
So why should it be any difference in the challah?
That's a mitzvah. That's not just to prevent you from doing an iser.
You can't eat the challah until you're mafish.
That's where we have to figure out. The question, let's say, Tfilas Kalem. We spoke a little bit about that.
What about Makir?
Yeah.
What
kind of
mitzvah is that?
That's... Right, that just prevents some of them.
Right, on the Doraisa level.
But there's a mitzvah there. Making a Makir
yeah,
itself.
Yeah, but again, but being Makir in the Kalem is also a mitzvah, right?
I'm not sure if that's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. But just to end off, again, we're short on time, Kedarka Kedosh over here, but Lamaisa, I'll prove to you, this is Rabbi Yerucha Molshin Zahara, that B'digas Chametz is a mitzvah. It's not just a Hechsha mitzvah. What's the Raya? Zog to Rabbi Yerucha, there's a Gemara in Daf Dalet. The Gemara in Daf Dalet talks about applying the rule of Zrizim Akdim and LeMitzvah to B'digas Chametz. Says Rabbi Yerucha, if B'digas Chametz is like checking for bugs, it's like Hechsha Kalim, there's no such din as Zrizim Akdim to how early you have to kashi your Kalim. It's a joke. It's not a mitzvah. So if it says Yibruchim, from the fact that the Gemara applies rules Rizim Akdim LeMitzvah for B'dikas Chametz, that's Mochach that it's a mitzvah. So what do you have to say, says Yibruchim? You're going to have to say that Chazal instituted a mitzvah called B'dikas Chametz. Period. Every Jew needs to be B'dik.
What's this reason argument?
The Gemara has a question, Mishachim, what time should B'dikah take place? So in the middle of the conversation, the Gemara says, I think it should be done earlier because it's Rizim Akdim LeMitzvah.
On the 14th.
No? Right, yeah. On the 14th. But the Frekt Yachroinim, maybe Rucham is not the first one to point this out. What it means, Zrizim Akdim? Zrizim Akdim is LeMitzvahs. It's got to be a mitzvah to have Zrizim Akdim. If it's not a mitzvah, there's no Zrizim Akdim. So Elamai, it has to be that B'digas Chametz is a mitzvah. So what do you have to say? You have to say that Chazal instituted a mitzvah that every Jew needs to be B'digas Chametz, period. You want to know why? I'll give you the why. But the fact is the fact. It's not like Hechsher Kalim. It's a Takonas Chazal B'Yisoidai. Every Jew must be B'Yidid the Chametz. What Nafkamina is there? Says Abdava Pavarsky, let's say a Jew decided he's going to roll the dice. He's going to take a chance to make sure there's no Chametz in his house. It's not going to be B'Yidid the Chametz. So if you learn the Sugya before this Var from Yerucham, you learn that the whole B'Digas Chametz was to ensure you don't get into that trap, would you be D'Evid have done anything wrong? I rolled the dice, and no one ate any donuts, and I didn't find anything, and everything was perfect. Would I be B'dievet considered a mevatel dinei chazal? So before we saw this shtickle, you'd say, maybe that was the whole takana. The whole takana was roll the dice, was not to roll the dice, not take a chance, because maybe, but I didn't, and everything worked out well. But according to this maskona, that's not the pshat, B'digas chametz is a chshala atzma is a mitzvah, you didn't do what chazal wanted. Zog to B'ruchem, now we can understand the Bach. It's beautiful, the Bach. When you leave within 30 days. You know why you have to be B'edik? Because every Jew needs to be B'edik as Chametz within 30 days. Period. Nothing to discuss. Whether you'll find or you won't find. So you make a bracha. But when you're leaving more than 30 days, why are you doing a B'edik? Nothing. Because the Bach says, maybe you'll show up and find Chametz. Oh, if that's the chashash, that doesn't get a bracha. We don't make brachas on merely chashashes. We make brachas on takanas chazal. There was no takanas chazal to be b'edik your house 6 months before Pesach. 6 months before Pesach was merely to ensure there is no chametz. Therefore, says Rabbi Yerucham, now we understand the Bach.
But if it's its own independent mitzvah, then why don't we make a mitzvah, a bracha the next day?
On the beer?
On the beer.
Part. That's a separate question. Why is there no bracha
on the beer? Well, we said it was a haschala, so that was fine. But now if it is in its own mitzvah,
the B'dika is its own mitzvah. I want to argue, according to the Ishtar Kotar, which should come out, that maybe B'dievit, if you were B'dika, you'd be Yotzer.
But the Kashmir of burning it the next day is also a mitzvah.
That's a separate mitzvah.
But then if it doesn't have its own bracha, which it doesn't, then that would prove that the...
Because that mitzvah is clearly to remove, like the Rosh said. That's really just to have a clean house. And that you don't make a bracha. Just very bekitzer, just from another Lomdish standpoint, there's a shaylif. Do you have to put in 10 pieces of bread? That's right. Givaldi, that's right. But Rabbi said, we have to speak this out. What does the Ramah hold? The Ramah hold, if you're B'edik 30 days, you still don't make a bracha. Which Lomdish does the Ramah hold according to this Chakira? You have to speak out. How does the Ramah hold according to this? That's right. Right. So just Rabbi said very quickly, if you're going to be by the Tuesday night, do you have to put out 10 pieces of bread? Why do we put out bread? So Pashup Shah, you put out bread because you're worried about bracha batala. But if I'm not making a bracha, then I don't have to put out 10 pieces of bread. However, the Chag Yankov writes, the reason why we put out 10 pieces of bread is to ensure you do a good bedika. So Im Kain, I think even more so. Lel Yudal, again, when you're being Badik Lel Yudgimel, you're just like the guy being Badik Lel Yudal. Don't think otherwise. You just have the same chiyuv as him. So you have to do a good bedikah. You should put out the bread as well.
But why can't? Why not just one?
So that mikra, then you don't have to put out 10. That comes from the Arizal.
You don't have to burn it.
No, you're not going to burn it till Friday. But
no, if you go away with those 10 pieces.
So that's a separate shayla if you have a chiyuv to be served chametz you don't own. That's a milchus chinuch shayla.
What do you do with those 10 pieces?
So you obviously have to get rid of it. The question is, let's say you throw it in the garbage on Tuesday night. You throw it out. Do I have to go Erev Pesach and buy chametz to do tashbisu? That's a shayla. That's a question. So Halacha L'maaseh, it comes out in Lomdus that the Bedikas Chametz is a mitzvah shel atzmai. That's it. You got to do it. Everyone has to do it. Lel Yud Beis, Lel Yud Gimel, Lel Yud Al. Everyone has to do it. That's why according to the Bach, it makes a bracha. While according to Rama, that's not the Lomdus. The Lomdus is, it's that Takana only in Lel Yud Al, and therefore there's no bracha unless it's Lel Yud Al.